Thank you so much for joining us today at Life Church. We have an exciting program for you. Here at Life Church, our mission is to equip people for an extraordinary life in Christ through God's Word, Spirit, and relationships. We truly believe that God can transform your life as you listen to His Word. If you'd like to know more about Life Church, visit our website at lifechurchag.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We hope you enjoy today's program.
So my end was overcapacity. If there had been a surprise inspection, I would have got a serious fine or been forced to close down. So Joseph shows up and asks me for a room. And I tell him that we're all out of rooms. And he says, "Look, man, my wife is pregnant." And I tell him, "Do you hear that? We are all filled up with pregnant women." And he says, "Well, my wife's water just broke, and I'm not kidding about that." So what do? I point him in the direction of the animals.
I didn't see anything that night. I mean, I was wearing these awesome threads.
Yeah, we're out there on the prairie, just minding our P's and Q's, and booyah!
Man, who turned on the lights there?
And we got this angel creature. Well, it was basically an angel, man. Yeah, they're real.
I don't know what them guys are talking about. Are you sure them guys saw angels? I mean, I felt something too, but I don't think it was angels. I think it was the chili dog I had the other night.
So I go outside and I look and, the whole sky is lit up.
We're like, "Yo, what is that? I don't know. You the wise, you tell me. Hey, I don't know." But something told us that this means something big. Gotta be a king. It has to be a king.
They asked me to watch the sheep in that while they took off somewhere. Them jerks left me behind.
Me? No, I didn't hear anything about a king. All I know is that there's a hipster party or something, a couple doors down at the inn.
My stable was not designed to hold that type of foot traffic.
It was like, I won't call it a party, sort of like an early version of Woodstock.
Were you talking about the party? You know, the party that Glenn and I were gonna have? The big census party? The census party beyond censuses? Because if that's the party you're talking about, then I could tell you all about the party, but I don't know what you're talking about.
People are trying to sleep, we got a census going on, and they're over there with drums and there's some bright light.
You know, you had this young couple, and then you had this baby inside of a food dish. Don't get it.
And I could tell, you know, nothing for nothing, but this was the first time he's been a father. He took the baby and he put him in this food dish. You know, the thing where all the animals and the donkeys, you know, are eating out of.
He's the son of God in a little box in the form of a little baby.
So I go over to the window and I yell down the street, "Hey, there's a census tomorrow and some of us trying to get some sleep."
I'm pretty sure it was just a normal night like any other night.
All that to say, I really don't know what was going on. I don't know what you're talking about.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are.
They're amazing, aren't they? I mean, have you ever gone out on a clear night and seen a sky that is just full of stars? I mean, more stars than you've ever seen in your life. There is nothing better than that. It's breathtaking, isn't it? There are so many stars in the sky. There's so many stars in the universe. But here's the frustrating part for me. When I look up at the sky, when I look through this telescope and I see all these stars, I've never been able to figure out for the life of me what in the world I'm looking at. Is anybody with me? I mean, according to astronomers, there are all these cool constellations that are supposed to be up there in the heavens, right? And every constellation is supposed to form a picture, like Orion the Hunter. Has anybody ever seen Orion the Hunter in the sky? Yeah, I think we've got a picture of it up on the screen here. So you're supposed to be able to see that. I never see that when I look at the sky. I don't, seriously. Or you're supposed to be able to see cool things like Leo the lion, or Taurus the bull, or Lyra the harp, or Pegasus the flying horse. My wife would love to see Pegasus the flying horse, right? Or Aquila the eagle, or Ursa Major the great bear, right? They tell me, astronomers do, that you should be able to see all that stuff up there. But if I'm honest with you tonight, I can't see a stinking thing. They are right there in front of me, and yet for some reason, I can't see them. Other people see them, I don't. You know, I started thinking about that, and it reminded me of the people that lived during the birth of Jesus, during the time that he was born. And I began to think about how the greatest event in the history of mankind was taking place right under their noses, and somehow they missed it. They never saw it. But you know what? Then I started thinking, well, stink, they're not the only ones that missed it. We have people that miss it today. Sadly, there are millions of people that are going to go through this Christmas season, and they're going to miss it. They're totally clueless about the meaning and the message of Christmas, because of all the trappings that Christmas comes with, because of all the busyness of Christmas. And yet the truth is this, that what our human hearts long for the most, what we need, has been there right in front of our faces all along, but we failed to see it. The tagline of this month's Christmas Story series asks a very important question. The tagline of this series is simply this: do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? This month we've seen how some of the characters in the Christmas story, they saw it, they got it. And because they saw it, their lives were completely and radically changed and transformed. And then we've met other characters this month in the Christmas story who didn't get it, and their lives remained unchanged. And so on this Christmas Eve, I just have one question for you. Do you see what the wise men and shepherds saw? Do you see? What is it that you are not seeing tonight about Jesus that you need to see? Why is that important? Because Proverbs 29:18 tells us this, that without vision, what does that mean? Without the ability to see what God is doing, Proverbs tells us that people perish. They get lost. They lose their way. You know anybody who's lost their way? In other words, their lives never become what they could have been, and they don't experience what they could have experienced. And so tonight, I want to talk a few moments about stargazers. Stargazers. So if you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, and we're going to read the Christmas story together. And then we're going to talk about two different types of stargazers in this story. So Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, says this: and so Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some magi, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Well, King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone else in Jerusalem. And so he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? And they said, in Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities. For a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. And then Herod called for a private meeting with these wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared to them. And then he told them this. He said, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship too. Now, after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with exceedingly great joy. And so they entered the house, and they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down, and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests, and they gave him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. According to Webster's dictionary, the term stargazer has two different meanings. The first meaning of stargazer is this: it refers to a person who intently studies the stars. Pastor Kevin did a great job last Sunday of talking about these men called the Magi or the wise men. The Bible tells us they had been stargazing for 500 years, waiting for the sign that Daniel would appear in the heavens and indicate a messianic king was to be born. And he talked all about that last week. So when an unusual star did appear in the heavens, they responded immediately because they were watching for it. Because Daniel had told them about this strange appearance that would occur, that would indicate a king was born. But the word stargazer also refers to a daydreamer. Now, daydreamers walk through life oblivious to what's happening around them. Daydreamers, if you've ever met them, never take action. They gaze, but they never act. So their lives never change. Well, guess what? We see both in the Christmas story. The wise men and the shepherds, they were stargazers. They took action when confronted with a heavenly sign. But the religious leaders, the political rulers, the innkeepers, countless others failed to act, and they missed what could have been. On this Christmas Eve, I want you to know that God is offering you a gift that will change your life if you're willing to see it. If you're willing to see it. So let's talk about why did so many people miss Jesus that first Christmas? I mean, he was right there. He was right underneath their noses, the Son of God, the King of Kings, but they missed it. Why? The first reason is busyness. Anybody in this room been busy this holiday season? Yeah, you can go ahead and admit it. You see, busyness causes us to miss things in life. I love what John Ortberg said in talking about our busy lives. He said this. He said, for most of us, the great danger is not that we will renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and so rushed and so preoccupied that we will settle for a mediocre version of our faith. That we will skate through this life missing out instead of actually living it. How many people do you know tonight that are just skating through life missing it instead of living the life that Jesus died to give them? You see, the beauty of a Christmas Eve service like this is that it gives us the chance to stop, even though it's for a few moments, and reflect on what's really important in life. Most of the characters in the Christmas story were so distracted by the busyness of their lives, just like all of us are, that they didn't see what was happening around them. I wonder tonight, has the busyness of your life caused you to miss what Jesus wants to do in your life? The second reason people missed it was because they didn't think they needed a Savior. They were self-sufficient. When I think of that, I think of how human nature hasn't really changed throughout the ages. As human beings, we want to be the captain of our own ship. We want to be the masters of our own destiny, right? I think of that famous poem, Invictus, by William Henley, where he boldly proclaimed these words, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. And that's a lot of people's philosophy in our world today. Because American culture has taught us to be independent and self-sufficient, to not need anyone or anything. From the time that we were really small, So is it really surprising on this Christmas Eve that there are people in our community, that there are people in our families, that there are people in our world that don't feel that they need a Savior? They don't need a Messiah. They don't need Jesus. I'm good the way I am. I'm independent. I'm self-sufficient. I'm making it on my own. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln observed the following about Americans. Here's what he said. He said, intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, and too proud to pray to the God that made us. We have grown in numbers, in wealth, and in power as no other nation has grown, but we have forgotten God. We have forgotten God. Isn't it amazing that with all of our technological advancements, that we've gotten too big for our britches, as my grandmother used to say? We just think we're all that in a bag of chips. We don't need God. We don't need a Savior. And I wonder how many have missed the truth that we need a Savior. And they've bought into the lie of self-sufficiency, because that's exactly what it is. Maybe you're here in this room tonight and you bought into that lie. Maybe you're watching online and you bought into that lie that you don't need God, you don't need Jesus, you don't need a Savior. The third reason that people missed it was because they were looking for the wrong thing. You know what the irony of this story is? That the very people that should have been at the head of the line, the very people that should have gotten this, the ones that were actually waiting for a Messiah, the Jews, were the first ones to miss it. I mean, they didn't get it at all. Have you ever wondered why they didn't get it? They missed it because they were looking for the wrong thing. You see, the Messiah, Jesus, didn't come packaged the way they expected. They were looking for a Messiah who would appear with shock and awe tactics, baby. And he would destroy their enemy, Rome. He would light them up, and he would establish his rule and reign. But you know what they got instead? They didn't get shock and awe. They got wet diapers and crying. They got a crying baby. They're like, what's up with this, God? You can see how they would have missed it. So I have a question for you. What kind of Jesus have you been looking for? We know the kind of Jesus that they've been looking for, but what about you? You see, many people miss Jesus because their expectations are wrong. There are a whole lot of people in America that are looking for a low demand, low commitment, make all your dreams come true, vending machine Jesus. You put your religious currency in the machine, your prayers, your fasting, your church attendance, and boop, out pops a miracle, as if God was at our whim. The problem is this, that have you ever noticed that Jesus doesn't always do what we want him to do? And so that's how it was with the Jews. Instead of crushing their enemies, what does Jesus ask them to do? He asked them to love their enemies. And they're like, no, we don't want to love our enemies. The root of our unbelief can be summed up in three statements that reveal our wrong expectations. Here they are. Statement number one is this. God, I thought you'd change things by now. Have you ever felt disappointment because Jesus didn't move as quickly to change things in your life or your circumstance as you thought he should? And you find yourself saying somewhere in the back of your mind, geez, God, I thought you would have changed all this by now. I thought you would have moved a little quicker by now. In fact, the psalmist felt this way in Psalm 35, 17. You know what the psalmist said? He cried out this, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Because we want quick fix, Jesus, right? So sometimes our expectations get us in trouble. Statement number two is this. Have you ever said this to God? This doesn't make sense. Right? Because whenever God's involved, his plans and ways always leave us scratching our heads. I'm sure that the religious leaders were beside themselves because they couldn't wrap their heads around the concept of God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, Yahweh, squeezing himself into flesh and coming as an infant. They were like, they didn't have a box for that. It didn't make sense. And I would just have to be honest with you tonight, and I'd have to say in my own life, there have been so many times that I've missed Jesus because my brain keeps telling me, this doesn't make sense. This can't be God. No way. And so sometimes we miss Jesus because his ways don't make sense to us. And so we have the wrong expectation. And then the third statement is this. Are you ready? Hey, God, that's not how I would have done it. In fact, that's not how I would do it at all, right? Have you ever found yourself saying that to God? I mean, you obviously wouldn't say it out loud, but you're thinking it, right? God, that's not how I would do it. Once again, it's not about me. It's not about what I want. But our wrong or unfulfilled expectations are a roadblock that will cause us to miss Jesus. That's the point. That's how people missed him. That's how people in our world today are still missing him. So let's get on the other side of this equation now for a moment. So what can we learn from the people who saw it, who got it? What can the Magi, what can the shepherds teach us so that we can experience what Jesus wants to give us on this Christmas Eve? Well, the first thing we can learn is this. Pay attention. That's the first lesson they teach us. Pay attention. You see, we live in an ADD world, right? It seems like everybody's got attention deficit disorder because our tools and our technology have left us perpetually distracted. So much so that we don't even pay attention to the people that are around us anymore. How many times have you walked into a meeting and you've seen all the people sitting there in that meeting with their heads bowed and they weren't praying, they were doing what? They're on their cell phones, right? We have such short attention spans these days. And so we need to learn the lost art of paying attention. There's a great story about a town that had been flooded by torrential rains. And man, as the rains came, the floods were rising. And so the local police departments were going to all of the residents in this town and they were telling them, you've got to get out. You've got to leave your homes. You've got to move to higher ground. But one man, there's always one in the crowd, right? One man refused to leave. And he told the police officers, look it, I'm not leaving. God will take care of me. And so the water soon overwhelmed the man's house. And now he found himself sitting on his roof. Well, several neighbors came by and they were in a boat and they urged the man, get in our boat, we'll take you to safety. But the man looked straight at them and he said, I'm not going with you because God is going to take care of me. A little while later, a helicopter flew by. They lowered down one of those rope ladders and they screamed down, grab the rope, we'll get you to safety. And once again, the man screamed up the helicopter and said, I'm all right. God will take care of me. Well, you know by now that this story is not going to end well. Eventually, the flood engulfed the whole house. And never having learned to swim, the man drowned. As he's standing in front of God, he asked God, God, what am I doing here? Why didn't you save me? To which God looked at him and replied, I sent you a police officer, a rowboat, and a helicopter. What more do you want? It's amazing how inattentive we can be, right? We just miss it. Well, the Magi and the shepherds experienced the miracle of Christmas because they were paying attention. The second reason they experienced Jesus was because they were active rather than passive. In other words, they acted on what they saw. There's a great story. I'm not going to take you there tonight, but I want to reference it. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, where the disciples have just watched Jesus ascend into heaven. Remember that story? They're all up there on the mountain, and Jesus leaves them, and he just starts rising, right? And after a lengthy period goes by, Jesus is already gone, an angel appears in front of the disciples, and he asks them a simple question. Why stand ye gazing into the heavens? Now, let me depict this for you so you get it, all right? Because here's what's happening. Jesus says his goodbyes. All of a sudden, the clouds open. He starts rising, and the disciples are like, fast forward 20 minutes. Fast forward 60 minutes. Well, would you look at that? Wow. Do you get it? In other words, the point of this story is they are standing there so stinking long that God has to send an angel down and say to them, what are you doing? What are you looking at? Why stand ye gazing? Because they weren't doing anything. They were frozen. They were stuck. It's the funniest story. Don't you wish, like, sometimes, like, the Bible was like a video and you could have seen some of this stuff? Because, man, I think we would have, like, laughed our heads off at half of these stories. They're just standing there for the longest time. And therein lies the problem with many people. We see, but we never act. All we do is sit around gazing. Wow. Right? Every Christmas, think about this. Every Christmas, people hear the story of Christ's birth over and over and over again, and they never take action. They never get beyond gazing. And here's the problem. The problem is that gazing won't change your life, my friend. You have to do something with Jesus. My question for you on this Christmas Eve is, why stand ye gazing? Because the only way to experience the life that Jesus died to give you is to take action. And the final reason the Magi and the shepherds experienced Jesus was because they resisted distractions. You already know this. The Christmas season is filled with all kinds of distractions. There is no more distracted time in the whole calendar year. And all of those distractions cause us to miss Jesus. There are lights, there are presents, there's music, there are festive parties, there are school programs, and there are school programs, and there are school programs. And there's family, and the list goes on and on and on, right? So in April of 1988, the Evening News reported as their top story that night that a cameraman had fallen to his death while filming. What was he filming? A skydiving team. Apparently, he had jumped out of the plane without his parachute because he had gotten distracted. He was so excited about filming this team, and it wasn't until he went to pull the ripcord that he realized he didn't have a parachute. Guess what? Too late. Too late. There were lots of distractions the Magi had to overcome to find the newborn king. I wonder how many times they felt like turning back because the journey was a lot longer and a lot harder than they had expected. I wonder how many times they wondered whether the journey was actually worth it or not because it was costing them so much. You see, they were footing this bill out of their own pocket. It's a long journey. It's a lot of money. But they pressed on because they were hungry. Get this. They were hungry for an encounter with the Messiah. And it was that encounter that changed them. After they met the Christ child, they were no longer the same people. The Bible tells us that they were filled with great joy. The Bible tells us that the direction of their lives was literally changed forever because they were no longer content to stargaze. They acted on what they saw. And so tonight, here is my simple message for you. Don't miss Jesus. You're going to go out. You're going to do all these wonderful things with family. You're going to open presents. You're going to have a ball over the next 24 hours. Don't miss Jesus. Because maybe you've missed him in the past because you haven't been paying attention. Or you've missed him because you've gotten distracted by life. Don't miss him this year. Take action. Invite him into your life. Invite him into your situation. You'll never be the same again. You see, over the centuries, Jesus has changed countless lives. But the question is, will you let him change your life tonight? If you don't know him as your Messiah, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, will you tonight receive the gift that he came to bring, the gift of forgiveness, freedom from the power of sin, and a peace that isn't tied to circumstances? You see, he's offering it all to you on this Christmas Eve. But you have to see it, and you have to act on it. You can't just gaze. Would you bow your heads tonight?
Thank you so much for watching our program today. We really hope it blessed you. You know, the Bible tells us that all of us need a Savior. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, today, if you're sitting there watching this program and you don't know where you stand with God, if you were to die today, you know, would you go to heaven? Would you not go to heaven? You know, we want to help you make sure. You know, the Bible goes on to tell us that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You know, Jesus came for that very purpose. And so today, I'd love to pray with you to call on the name of the Lord and make him your God, to let him forgive you of your sin and get in right relationship with him. So if that's you today and you want to give your heart back to God or maybe to him for the first time, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God, thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I need a Savior. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. Please forgive me of my sins. I give you all of my life. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer today, we know because the Bible says it, God heard it. We would love to help you any way we can in your walk with Jesus. And if you contact us through our website, let us know that you prayed that prayer, or call us at our church offices. We would love to give you some resources and tools to help you with your walk with Jesus. If you don't have a home church, we want to invite you to one of our campuses. Check out our website, look at our church locations and times, see which one works best for you. Thank you again for watching the program. God bless you. Have a great week.